Lord, it's such a privilege, God, just to be used by you, Lord. Father, thank you that we can just get excited about your heart, Lord. Thank you that we can just get excited about your plans, God, and just the way that you work, God. Father, we find our existence in you, Lord. Jesus, we're so dependent upon you, God. Father, we just want to say that you are the author of our lives, Lord. Lord, there's none like you. Jesus, and you're the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. God wants to bless us, and he wants to bless us in the way that we cannot even understand. We cannot even understand. God wants to bless us in a way that we cannot even understand. We cannot even comprehend how he wants to bless us. And I said to God, Lord, but what does this blessing mean? What is this, you want to bless us? What's it all about? And he said to me three things. Relationship, and relationship. First and foremost, relationship with him. And then relationship with the people, okay? But first we all have to come to a place where we get honest, where we get brutal honest. And I think it's quite unfair that I stand here at the front and I take all the shots and you guys just sit there, some of you fall asleep, and you don't participate. So I've decided I'm going to put you guys on the spot. It's just how it works. I can't be the only one that's on the spot. So I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to call you by name. And if it is too overwhelming, you just tell me, next victim, please. Okay. So my question is, why is it so difficult for us to be honest? And I'm not talking about telling what I think. I'm talking about being honest. Brutally honest. Rian? Rejection. Tani de Lesti? Lack of love that doesn't make you spontaneous. Vian? Fear. Sorry, Johnny? Wow, fear of hurting somebody, if you're brutally honest. Yanni? Pride. Sure. Okay. I was 22. I had it all sorted out. I wanted to become a golf pro, so I worked it out. All I need to do is get married to an older rich guy. Because if they're above 50... If they're above 50, they've settled, the bank balance is quite high, he'll sponsor me. All he's going to do is he's going to love me and just let me play golf and I'll become a pro golfer. So now I'm in England and I've got all my sums worked out, right? So I'm in a golf store where I'm a club specialist. It's in the southwest of England. It's quite a famous place. So all the famous people that play golf come there, all the rich people. So now I'll stand at the back and as they come through the door, you know, I'll just check out what age is he, okay? So he'll come in and I'm helping him. And while I'm helping him, I have at the back of my mind, I want to know when you're going to sponsor me. And I wonder what I must do to get you to sponsor me. So I've got this mentality and I've been working a year in this shop. And then one day, a guy that was older than my dad, I wasn't saved at this stage, he was older than my dad and he asked me on a date. And I had such a fright and I realized, shucks, this is it. Okay. I can't do this. I just can't do this. Okay, I got saved at the age of 23, radically changed. I realized I don't want to be a pro golfer to be famous, I want to be a pro golfer to preach the gospel. Came back from honeymoon, got married to my husband after a few years. We came from honeymoon, okay. I was 2 weeks working, and as I was driving to my work, I stopped at the road, I looked at the right-hand side, and there was this rich old man in his car. My initial thought was, shucks, I wonder if you're going to sponsor. I'm like, oh, I'm married. I'm married and I've got these thoughts. I'm like, that whole day I felt so guilty. I thought, shucks, I'm an adulteress. What is going on? And I'm telling you, that whole day, I just saw rich old men. That's all I saw. The whole day. I went home that evening. I said to him, he even asked me, Lovie, what's wrong? I said to him, sweetie, I have to tell you something. He says, what is it? I said to him, I don't know what it is, but I've got these thoughts about rich, freaking old men, man. I don't know what it is. And then I realized this thing got stuck way back when I was 22 years old, making all these plans and stuff, and it got stuck. But as soon as I told him, you know what he said to me? He just laughed. He just laughed. He said, Lovie, chill. You're just being attacked. You're just being attacked. We're on fire for the Lord. We're married. You're just being attacked. But as soon as I said it, that whole thing just came off. That whole thing just came off. Why is it so difficult for us to say? I watch porn. I'm in love with a man that's not my husband. I hate my pastor. I want to encourage you guys that we have to come to a place where we have to be honest. Because God loves us and he wants us to be free. I'll never forget this. It's quite a hectic story. We were in Stellenbosch. And I can't remember doing what service, but the guy got up and he went on the stage. And the next moment, he just started to confess. You know what he said? I had sex with my sister. I made a girl pregnant. And it was one thing upon the next, upon the next. I looked at the reactions in the church. Some people walked out. They couldn't handle it. Some people looked down on the floor because they couldn't look him in the eye. Some people they were just dumbstruck. They didn't know what to do. But there was a few that started to cry with him. There was a few that could see what this man is busy doing. Because this guy had the boldness to get up and understand that there's something in his life that's keeping him away from the presence of the Lord and living life and life in abundance. But I remember there was only a handful that could really love him. There was only a handful that could really see his heart. And I was shaken that day. I said, Lord, there's something in this young man that happened that he realized that I need to start confessing this. I need to start confessing before you, Lord, and before people. Okay, let's go to John 10, verse 10. Just go to your Bibles. John 10, verse 10. Okay. Listen to this. Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Okay? John 14 verse 6 says, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So life is in Jesus. Everything outside of Jesus is not life. Hear me out. You know, the devil is so clear. You know what he does? He's constantly trying to get us at a place where we don't seek life in Jesus. Okay? Let's take a normal example. You see this beautiful woman. You know, that woman speaks to you. I mean, she's going to make you the man that you've always wanted. She's going to love you emotionally. She's going to give you everything you've always wanted. But now you realize for you to get this hot girl, you really need to get the money. And you need to get the fancy car. So you get yourself a fancy job. You get this fancy car. You get this woman. A year down the line, nobody's told you that she's emotionally unstable. Nobody told you that she's going to freak out. Nobody told you that she doesn't even know what life is all about. Nobody told you that she won't be able to encourage you. Nobody told you that she won't be able to be the woman that you wanted it to be. But before you got married, you really thought that this is the answer. But guess what? No, you know what it is? You just married the wrong woman. You just need to get the right woman. And then there's another one. And then you get married again. Same patterns, just a different one. Because we're seeking life that's not in Jesus. And for a lot of us, it's different things. And for some of us as Christians, what we do is we're saved now, but we're constantly at that place where we want this relationship. I want this job. I want this amount of money. And every time when we get it, there's this sort of, it's this emptiness. Ugh, it's so clever. The devil just uses money, power, and sex. Those three things constantly over and over and over again. It's just in different forms. Okay. John 6, verse 45 says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry. And he who believes and cleaves to and trusts and relies on me will never thirst anymore at any time. So I really feel that what God is speaking to you is like our natural, we get hungry and we eat and we get thirsty and we drink. But there's a place where we can be where we are satisfied, where we don't get thirsty, where we don't get hungry. You don't get thirsty, you don't get hungry, because you are satisfied with your relationship with Jesus, with intimacy with Jesus, because life is in Jesus. But now we become very spooky with the Lord, because God must now come and perform. I want his presence. I want to see his presence. Practically, what must we do to get a relationship with Jesus? What must we do? Annalisa? How do you spend time with the Lord? Okay, good. And how do we do that? How do we spend time with the Lord? Fantastic, okay. There's not a right and a wrong answer. Fabulous. Karu? Willem? Umpo? Wow. Johnny? Through meditation. Okay. Go to James 4, verse 8. Yeah, James 4, verse 8. So James 4 verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So you know how we've become like God needs to perform now. Even in worship, God needs to come and show himself to me now because I want to feel his presence. I want to see him. But the word says, if we draw near, he will draw near. If we draw near, he will draw near. But practically, every morning, you have to get up and spend time with him. It's like a natural thing. The way I spend time with my husband to get to know him. The other day I said to him, "Shoch, lovey, we're almost 2 years married and I don't think I even know you." Because I don't really. We've known each other not even for 3 years. And it's exactly the same with the Lord. You have to spend time with him. You physically have to close your door or wherever, sit and talk to him. Read his word. Pray. Sometimes I've been quite freaked out because I'm quite a talker, and the last 2 weeks when I was preparing, I would go in, be dead still. Dead still. Just listen. Have you found like when you ask people about, let's say they facilitate foundations or they went to the youth camp, you ask them, what was it like? How was it? Or they went on missions. What was it like? They're like all psyched up. They're trying to explain to you, but they can't really because God is so amazing. What he's done is so amazing that they cannot sort of explain it in a natural way. I mean, I can't remember who I asked about the youth. Oh, it was amazing. God was so awesome. And he did this. And later I thought, what happened? I can't even figure out what happened. But they're just so psyched up because God did this thing. And it's quite interesting. The natural things work just the opposite from the spiritual things. Let me show you. You get your fancy car, man. You're so psyched up. You're there. Okay, polo, whatever. After a week, you're here. After 2 weeks, you're here. After a month, you don't even see the car anymore. But with God, it's just the other way around. You start to spend time with him, and the more you want to spend time with him, it just goes like this. You're like, man, Lord, what are you busy doing? God is downloading stuff and you're experiencing his love and his presence. And you can't say it in words because it's just so amazing, but it just goes up and up and up. I remember being saved for 2 months. I actually thought that each Christian get like a little pot full of the presence of the Lord. And I don't want to use it all up because I thought, shucks, it can't get better than this. It can't, but it does. God takes us from glory to glory. He takes us from strength to strength concerning the presence of him, getting to know him, getting to understand his heart. All right. I always say that if it's more than you imagine that it would have ever been, it's God. It's always the way it is. Because we cannot understand and comprehend, there's also scripture that says it, we cannot understand and comprehend the heart of God and what his plans and how much he loves us. And I mean, we get glimpses and then we just figure, I sometimes feel that my whole body wants to sort of explode because of all the joy and of all the love. But the natural things are always let down. You'll get that dream house. I promise you, you're going to be disappointed because it's not that cool. It's just the way it is because life is in Jesus. I'm telling you, 99% of all issues, I want to say 100%, will be sorted out if we spend time with Jesus. It all comes down to intimacy with Jesus. Okay. I don't know what happened, but for 2 years now, I would pray in tongues, but you know the words is you must pray in tongues constantly, fervently, and so forth. I would just randomly start to be very, very spiritual. When we're in a cell group, now I cut out and I'm a shatara there. When we're at church, then I'll pray in tongues. But completely forgot about it when I'm like just driving in my car. It's like I stopped praying in tongues. And the word says that we have to pray in tongues. I'm going to give you an example. I get up, go through, read through my Bible, spend a bit of time with the Lord, and I'm on my way to work. I've got like a 40-minute drive to work. I'm not praying in tongues. These are the thoughts. Thought number one, this crazy guy comes from the right. I'm like, you idiot, what are you doing? On my hooter like a mad thing, I hoot. The second thought, oh Lord, we are almost 40 years old and we're still in a flat. When are we ever going to just, you know, move forward in life? Third thought, I'm looking in the mirror and I'm like, I'm 31 years old and I've still got zits. How does this work? I'm 31 and I'm still going through puberty. Thought number four, we've made a movie. How are we going to sell this movie? It's a low budget movie. Oh goodness, how are we going to sell this movie? Thought number five, Lord, that person that irritates me in church, there's no hope. How, Lord, just please don't let that person even greet me in church. I can't stand that person anymore. By the time I get to work, I'm so negative, I see a demon everywhere, and I can't work. Right, then the Holy Spirit said to me about, I think a month ago, I want you to pray in tongues, because I want you to be free, I want you to be filled with God constantly, his love, his presence. Now I'm praying in tongues, same thoughts. Guy comes past, Lord, bless that man. Father, I pray that no accident will happen in Jesus' name. Next thought, Lord, that flat, I love it. It's our little love hut. I absolutely love it. We are so privileged. Thought number three, looking in the mirror. And we're getting a garden. Thought number three, looking in the mirror. Lord, how hot am I? Oh my goodness. Amen. You've created me so beautiful in your image. Father, I thank you for that person in church. God, I thank you for deliverance, for this, for that. Oh, and I think about that person that's unsafe. Father, I thank you for this one that's unsafe. Lord, I'm going to make a coffee appointment with this one and we're going to chat about you, Lord, and I'm just going to bless them. And it just doesn't stop. Everything just comes out. Everything that's on God's heart. I get this desire for the unsaved. I'm in tears. I can't see where I'm driving because I'm all filled with his love and his presence. Lord, I just want the world to be saved. But God has given us his Holy Spirit and we reject him. He's given us the gift of praying in tongues to help us. Okay, sorry, I've lost my track. Let me just go back here. Okay, John 14, verse 26 says, but the Comforter, so the Holy Spirit is the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, because we need help, the Intercessor, the Advocate, the Strengthener, listen to this, the Strengthener, stand by the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and on my behalf. it's so amazing. Like, oh, God showed me that we need to start to practice. It's like a natural, natural thing. I remember it was actually just, yeah, I just got saved. And then they said, who wants to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Who wants to pray in tongues? And I went forward, and then there's one girl on this side, one girl on this side. They were both praying in tongues, and I could not stop to giggle because this thing was weird. So now I'm giggling, and I said, listen, girls, just stop. What are you doing? I don't understand this. And then they just explained to me how it works, and I'm like, I'm so sorry, but I'm feeling very weird now. I really think maybe you guys are a sect, but I'm not comfortable with this. So the next morning, I woke up like this, whoop, sit up straight, and out came three words, just like that. The next moment, it was peace and joy and love like I've never experienced. And then I understood why God tells us to be baptized, to pray in the Holy Spirit. Everything he tells us is because of love, because he wants to give. That's all. It's so amazing, and we need to cultivate the spiritual gifts, and we need to cultivate and practice our relationship with the Lord. It's like anything else. In the beginning, you'll pray a few words in praying in tongues, and then you'll become better at it. It's like anything. I mean, if you want to become a winemaker, you have to start somewhere. You have to start to study, so you start baby steps, and so you grow. I mean, and this is amazing testimony, but 3 years ago, I was sort of, what's the word, diagnosed, I'm not sure, but I had one of the highest forms of depression. So much so that I actually had suicidal thoughts. And I had two options. I could either go on antidepressants, or I could start to eat healthily. And by the help of, obviously, the Holy Spirit, but two very good friends that just helped me to eat healthily. Now listen to this. I changed my sugar, my salt, my flour, my water, my bread. I literally changed everything. Okay? And you know what happens? Your palate changes. Your palate started to change. Now you're starting to crave all the pure things, the stuff that's not refined, all the natural things. And that's what God wants to do with our spiritual palates. The more time you spend time with Jesus, the more you will want to spend time with him. The more you start to worship him, the more you would want to worship him. The more you get a heart for the lost, the more you will start to get a heart for the lost. But guys, we need to get practical. Because we think it's a spooky thing. God just needs to come and do it. We need to draw near. We need to walk out. And a lot of the times our emotions aren't there. We don't really want to. We don't really feel like it. But we need to, it's a process. But we need to come to a place where we're practical, okay? Any questions so far? No. Oh, sweet, thanks, Paul. Okay. Now I want to come back to the thing of being honest. God loves us so much that he wants us to be honest. He really wants us to be honest. The reason why God tells us to give a tenth of our income and offerings and above that is because he wants us to be free. You know how many times Jesus spoke about money in the Word? Because he knew how we work. He knew how we work, that we're constantly like this. We consume. We just want to have. We just want to. But God knows that we come alive when we give. We can come alive if our hands are open and we're just giving of our time, of our finances, of our talents, of everything. That's when we come alive. Because the Word says it's more blessed to give than to receive. I was one of the most stingiest persons that I knew. If someone took a bite of my sandwich, I'll check them out. Because it shouldn't be too big. I don't know if it's the way we grew up or what, but I was really stingy. But so much so that I could feel that it kept me in bondage. I would turn my sense around. I'm quite good at budgeting. It's just the way that God created me. But it became to a place where it was unhealthy. And I remember I got saved, and this thing started to bother me a bit. I struggled to give. And then what happened one evening was, I was in between jobs. I went from doing caring work to teaching, but it was almost 2-3 months that I was without work. I think I had £140 left in my bank account. I was at NatWest, England. And I sat in the sermon, and I don't even know what the pastor preached about, but I sat there and I realized, I've really got a problem here. I'm not living my life. I've got this thing of gathering everything. I'm gathering everything, and I just want it for myself. And the more I just want and I just need. But I could feel this thing, like, kept me, it was so, actually difficult to explain. It kept me in bondage. It was in the middle of the sermon. I got up, I walked out, NatWest, the teller was about 100 meters from there. I put in my card, I drew all the money I had, all of it. I said to Lord God, I'm in business with you now. I'm tired of this thing. I'm tired of living like this in bondage. Because God couldn't use me. He couldn't use me. I took all the money out, and they did the offer, or just afterwards, I remember there was a bag. I took the pound note, and I threw it in. And as I threw it in, guys, life started, man. Life started. You know, God has done such an amazing thing with Philalem and I. But it's a difficult thing, the tithing thing. It's a difficult thing, the money thing, because we don't want to talk about money. But guys, I'm telling you, we need to talk about money. We need to come to a place where we keep each other accountable. Because if we're going to start to give, you must see how God opens up the doors. You're going to see how God's going to open up the doors. But the life that starts when you start to give, it's incredible. It's incredible. Like, God has really been talking to us about, forget about your tithing. I'm interested in the other 90%. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? Because it's my money. It's God's money. You know what? God will raise up people that's not gifted. He will raise them up. Because I say, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing. I'm willing to sow into your kingdom. I'm willing. And he'll raise them up. We went to a stewardship thing with Alan Barnard. His company is 24 years old. 24 years ago, what he did, he capped his income. And it means this. He actually said it's unfair for him to earn more money than his pastor. And he's a businessman. So what did he do? They decided they're going to live middle class. So he decided on an amount of his salary. And everything above that, they give away. But now you know what he did? There were 12 people in the company. He said it to all 12. Why did he tell them? Why did he tell the 12? Who knows? Sorry? Because he knew how the heart works. As soon as we get more money, we buy a fancier car. And hear me out, there's nothing wrong with being rich and having a fancy car. Hear me out. Because he knew what his heart was like. So now it's got 12 people. And the first year, they gave away $50,000. I mean, they were ecstatic. They were ecstatic. And I watched him while he was telling all this stuff, because I was actually trying to catch him out, because I thought there must be a catch here somewhere. In 2005, they started to give away $1 million a month. A month. And you know us now, all of us, we're sitting there. There's a few rich people there. And the guy said, Alan, isn't it quite hectic to you? All your friends have got all these flashy lives and you live middle class. And he looks at him and he goes, doesn't even cross my mind. And we said, why? And he says, because do you know what it's like to be in a group of, let's say, 10 people and all of them are from India, or it was from India that got, and they've all been persecuted at least 3 times for their faith. And he can sit there and he knows he can help them. He said, do you know what it's like to fund ministry and to see God's kingdom come? Do you know what it's like to see people getting saved, to see people getting healed, to see people get food? He says, nothing compares. Nothing compares. So over the years, it's just become this thing of just giving, of just sowing, of just giving. And he's at a place, really, that it's not even, what's the word, Liffy, any appetizing-y? appealing. It's not even appealing to him anymore. You know, like a lot of money, and it doesn't even, he doesn't even register. He doesn't even register. And I watched him because he showed us a little video of what they do. And it's quite clever what they did. Because of the amount of profits they make, they have to pay 50% taxes. So what he's done is he's already put 99% of the company into a trust. So now all the profit can go to the different ministries and the different people. He doesn't own it. He says it's so. But you can see there are 1,200 employees in the company now. He talks with peace and joy and love, but there's no pressure on, because he says, it's not my company, because it isn't his company. He says it's God. God came to do the work. Okay? The main thing is, God is after our hearts. That's the main thing. That's all he wants. And I really believe that if we're going to come to a place where we just say, Lord, I surrender now. Lord, I'm really going to start to be very honest with you, Lord. Dad, I'm not at a place where I want to give you everything. Lord, I'm not at a place, but God, I want to come to a place where I seek your face, where my first and foremost desire is to know you, and that is it. And that is it. My first and foremost desire is to spend time with you, Lord. And out of that, everything flows. Because sometimes we do it the other way around. I want to be bold to say that you can be in this church and you can be involved in all those ministries and not know Jesus. But there's no way that you can know Jesus and not get involved. Because when we spend time with the Lord, when we spend time with him, his heart becomes our heart. But I really want to say to you guys that God wants us to be at a place where we know his heartbeat, where we see him, where we can hear him. And then all we want to do is to know him. You know, all the other things, it just falls off. I've been blown away the last 2 weeks of just lying there in his presence. And he's just downloading. Because our brains and the way we think, we're so screwed up. We're all so broken. And God needs to come and heal us. I said to God the other day, I said, Lord, I really realize that I'm dependent upon you to go to the toilet. I'm not joking. I'm so dependent upon you in every area. I said to, I think I was married to Vanakul and Nadine the other day, and I got to a place where I'm just like, I have to be real about this now. I'm so excited about our movie, but am I excited because I'm the lead actress, or am I excited because the gospel is going out? I said, Lord, you need to come and change my heart. Because you know what? I can be in this thing, and it's all in vain. I can be in this thing, and the fruit will be terrible. And you know what? God will use me. God will use me. It's amazing. I see that God will use people that's unsaved to let his kingdom come. I said, God, but I don't want to miss out. I said, Lord, I don't want to miss out. I don't want your presence to leave me. I don't want your presence to leave me. Because that's what happens. The presence of the Lord just leaves us. So I'm so excited, and I realized that God actually has to deliver us from ourselves. He actually has to come and deliver us from ourselves. It's such an amazing place. And God never wanted us to be condemned. He never wanted nothing. He just wanted us to know him. That's why I sent Jesus. That's why I sent his only son. Let's pray. Lord, God, you love us so much that you sent us your only son, Father. Lord, thank you that we can come to a place tonight, Dad, that we can be real honest with you, Lord. Lord, because you know the stuff that we hide from you, Father. Dad, you know the stuff that's so deep and it's so sore and it's so dark that we don't want to go there, Lord. But Father, I pray specifically for this week, Lord, that you will just show people, Father, as they spend time with you, Lord, just your heart, God. Thank you, Lord, just how much you love us, Father. Jesus, but I pray just for a revelation of of your word. I want to pray for a revelation of Father, who and what you are, God. Because our faith is in you, Jesus. Our faith is in you, in your character, Lord. Lord, I want to thank you, Jesus, that you are busy touching people's hearts, God. Father, thank you, Lord, that you're bringing people to a place of where they're so desperate to see your kingdom come, where they're so desperate to see you, Lord God, that they will leave everything. Father, they will leave everything. They will give away their money if it takes it. They will give away their security, Father God, everything that keeps them away. Father, I pray that we will become aggressive about the things that keep us away from your presence, Lord. I pray that we will become aggressive, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that you're showing each and every person here tonight just the things by your Spirit, Lord, that's hindering us of walking in that place, Father God, of complete intimacy with you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are the author of our lives, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we can look at you, God, and just ask to show us, Father. Lord, you created us, God. You know exactly how we work, and you know how we're wired. Lord, we just want to worship you and say thank you. Thank you for the cross, Dad. If there's any one of you that need prayer, or anyone of you that just want to take someone's hand or just confess anything, or just be brutally honest with the Lord. If you want to mean business with the Lord, you're more than welcome. But yeah, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.